years in the wilderness, God said to Moses and to his people, look, right here, right now, where you are. You're blessed already. Right here, right now, you're blessed. And then the theme verse for our year is the next verse, Deuteronomy 1:11. God said, but even though you're already blessed like you are right here, right now, so blessed, may the God of your ancestors bless you 1,000 times more, just as he promised he would. So this is the year of being blessed 1,000 times more. We mentioned we're not talking about money, but 1,000 times stronger marriages, 1,000 times greater favor and influence, 1,000 times strengthened relationships at every level, 1,000 times better health, 1,000 times more traction and direction for your life. And today, I'm giving you the best news I've given yet, as we've been talking about just how good God is, just how capable God is of blessing his children. It's found in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. It says that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. A lot of people think God started being good to me when I accepted him, when I began serving him. That's the minute God began being good to me. But no, God is so good that he got involved in our lives even before we submitted our life to him. It's his goodness that brought us from that place of darkness into a place of repentance, where the light of his word explodes in us and shows us our future. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. I'm going to read a lot of scripture beginning now. Listen carefully. A certain man had two sons, Jesus tells this story. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided unto them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered everything together, journeyed into a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And here I am perishing with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And the servant said to him, your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But the older brother was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. And so he answered and said to his father, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. That's, of course, the parable of the lost son. And I remember speaking on this story last year. And I brought out the point then that we've all of our lives, thought the prodigal son, that younger son, the rebellious son, the one who went out and wasted everything the father had given him, we have always thought that was the lost son. But really he wasn't. The older brother is the lost son. I remember my sermon was titled, The Cliffhanger, one verse short of happily ever after. Because the story Jesus told, and I just read, ends with the father coming outside the house to reach out to the older brother and beg him to come in, but that's where the story ends. Now, we know how the story ended for the younger son, the prodigal, the one who went and wasted everything. We know he made his way back to the father's house, but we do not know whether the older son ever came back in the house where the father was throwing a party or not. The story ends with the father outside the house trying to reach his older son. It was a cliffhanger. When Jesus told this story 2,000 years ago to his followers, they got it immediately. The Jews knew exactly. Now, 2,000 years later, we've heard this story all of our life, and we have missed it. But the Jews, when Jesus told that story, knew immediately the lost son was the older brother. The younger son was not lost. He had worked through his stuff and found his way back to the Father's house. Here's a story of the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Two brothers, one strayed, the other stayed. But both needed an awakening as to how good their father was. Now, both of these sons had a relationship with their father. But neither one of them had fellowship with him. And that's the way many believers are today. If you've ever believed on the Lord Jesus, you're in relationship with him. Even though you may be like this younger son for a season in your life, you may be running far away from the Father. You may be wasting everything the Father has given you. Still, he calls you a father, or a son. And this son, when he was in the worst shape of his life, in the pig pen, he still referred to his father as my father. It's one thing to be in a relationship. It's another thing to be in fellowship. So there are some powerful words in this story. Father, give me. Wasteful living. Spent all in want. Reduced to feeding pigs and a lifestyle of living in a pig pen. But then it pivots. He came to himself. He had an awakening and he said, I will arise and go back to my father. To arise is to repent. To arise is to have an awakening And God in his goodness leads us to that place of repentance. Repentance is not becoming aware of your badness. Repentance is an awakening to his goodness. Terry Tripp, a good friend of mine who comes and ministers here every couple of years, he's coming back this November. November 19th, the Sunday morning, be here. He's one of the great young men God is using all over the nation in our generation. I spoke with him on the phone this past week, and he shared some things that the Lord had just shown him from this parable of the two sons. And with his permission, I said, Terry, I'd like to share that with the church. And he said, go for it. So I am. I want to give Terry credit. Terry and the Holy Spirit, it's all up to them. Terry, if you're listening by podcast, thank you. Terry said, to arise is to repent, and let's break the word repent down, re, and then pent, two syllables. The prefix re means to come back, to come back. And it's understood best in the word rewind. When we rewind something, we bring it back. And then pent, P-E-N-T. When it's used as a prefix, as in the word penthouse, where is a penthouse located? At the very top. Also, pent as a prefix can refer to a five-sided structure like the Pentagon, and the number five is the number of grace. So to repent means to come back to the top. To repent means to come back to the top. This younger brother had an awakening of the goodness of his father. And he said, here I am living with the pigs and eating pig slop. Nobody's given me anything. I have wasted my life. But I will get up from here and I will go back to my father's house. My father is good. I don't deserve to be a son anymore, but I will rehearse a statement. And when I get to him, I will deliver a statement. Father, I'm no longer worthy. Just hire me like one of the other servants. He came back to the top. Now, sometimes early on Sunday mornings, I'm in my office and I hear the praise and worship team out here sound checking and rehearsing, and Pastor Chris Potter and all of our wonderful musicians and our singers. I mean, don't you just enjoy the way they bless us and lead us into the presence of God? Give our worship band what's due for them. In my office, I'm in my office back here, and I can tell when the drummer makes it. I can tell when the bass guitar makes it. I can tell where all the musicians are on stage, and every now and then, if I listen carefully, I'll hear Pastor Chris, our worship pastor, say, let's take it from the top. That means let's come back to the beginning. Let's start at the beginning. To repent is to reverse a previous decision. It really means an about face. To change your mind and reverse a previous decision. Repent means to come back to the beginning. Back before you had ever sinned. Before you even knew what sin was. And the good news for this younger son, who was strayed far away from home and in want, is he realized no matter how far you've strayed, God is still your father. Relationship is still there. Now, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and theology was not all the most important thing back then. And we thought we never could be sure of our salvation. Well, that was just me, maybe. But I really grew up believing in eternal insecurity. I got saved about twice a month. I needed it. Now, of course, I know theologically that's not correct and that's not even possible. I know. But here's this prodigal son that's rebelling against his father, abusing the goodness of his father, wanted nothing to do with father, wanted to give me, give me, give me, I'm out of here. I mean, a rebel if there ever was one. But he came to himself eventually and realized he's still my father. No matter how far you've strayed, God is still your father. That's good news for somebody who came in here today. Now, the boy didn't have fellowship, but he still had relationship. Some people think if you don't have fellowship, you've lost your relationship. That's not true. Biblically, it's not true. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives you a free gift. It's called eternal life. He's not an Indian giver. You may not have fellowship, but the relationship is still there. Now, when you have relationship but no fellowship, you still belong to him. It just means you're missing out on all that the Father has for you. And then I've got to give Terry Tripp credit for this statement. He said, Carl, you know what? It's relationship and fellowship. It's both relationship and fellowship. He said, Carl, we can have both. We can have relationship and fellowship. He said, Carl, and here's what I got to give him credit for. I'm putting this in quotes, air quotes. He said, Carl, we need to get our ships together. Then that boy who came to himself, it was an awakening. It was a fresh awareness of how good his father was, what it was like being in the father's house and being in fellowship, and every need he ever had was met by his father. Such a great provider our father is. He said, I will arise and I'll go back to my father's house. Can you imagine the journey from the pig pen back to the father's house? We don't know how long of a journey it was. It may have taken him 2 days. It may have taken him a week. We don't know how long. I can imagine, though, since it was a faraway country, it took a while, and it had to be intentional. He had to deliberately say with every step, I'm going back to my father's house. Can you imagine what he must have looked like when he got within sight of the father's plantation? The wealthy father that owned a lot of land and so many hired servants. He had probably dreamed of that sight from the pig pens. Oh, many days, probably woke up and said, I'd give anything if I could just see the home place. If I could just spend an hour there, if I could just have one meal at Father's table, if I could just enjoy the comfort and the luxury and all the good things my father has lavished on me. But I left, oh, I long for the day I could be there again. But when he arrived, he was no doubt filthy, dirty. He probably didn't smell good at all. His clothes were probably ragged. He was tired and exhausted from a long journey. And he certainly did not look like the son of a wealthy man. And with every step, he's rehearsing his speech. When I see him, I'm going to say, Father, I am no longer worthy to be a son. I'm not even asking to be restored to my place, my former place in the family. I'm not worth that. I know I'm not even worthy any longer for that. All I'm asking for, Father, is if you'll put me on the payroll like the other hired servants that work in your field. That's all I'm asking for. But then, when he gets close enough to the Father's house, as exhausted as he was, as filthy and dirty as he was, he looks up and he can see the house and the fields, and it was home for him. And he saw the outline of his father. And the strangest thing probably in his mind was the father was looking for him. And when the father saw him while he was a great ways off, the Bible says the father ran to him. Imagine it. The father ran to him. One of my favorite songs of modern times says, "Mercy came running like a prisoner set free. Past all my failures to the point of my need, when the sin that I carried was all I could see, when I could not reach mercy, mercy came running to me." And what a beautiful sight to that son, to see his father full of mercy and grace running to meet him. And the father heard the son begin, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy." That was about all he could get out of his mouth. Father wasn't even listening. The father didn't even respond. The father didn't acknowledge. The father didn't even recognize the well-rehearsed speech the son started giving. The father interrupted the son and spoke directly to the servants and said, "Go bring me a ring, a robe, and some sandals." And that son realized that he should never elevate his sin above God's grace. Oh, there's sin around, and sin abounds. But where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. One of my favorite paraphrases of that verse is, when sin shows up like a Volkswagen Beetle, God's grace shows up like a Greyhound bus. Never elevate your sin above the Father's grace and His goodness. If you want God to ignore you, tell Him how unworthy you are. Psalm 52, verse 1, David said, "Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually." The robe, the ring, and the shoes stood for righteousness, authority, and peace. The robe of righteousness. The ring of authority. Roman government officials in that day had a signet ring, and for anything legal to become documented and authorized formally by the government, then the ring would be stamped over the written document, and that would make it legal. It represents authority. So the robe of righteousness, the ring, represented the authority of a full son had been restored back to his life. And then shoes representing peace. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. They are people of peace. God is so good that He doesn't wait to get involved in our life when we're good enough or think we are. In His goodness, He leads us to a place to where we have an awakening and an awareness. My Father is so good to me. God is so good. How God is so good is amazing. He's so good, He treats us as if we've never sinned. That's what happened when this young rebellious son finally got back to the father's house. The father didn't want to hear any excuses, didn't even want to waste another minute trying to talk through stuff. The father had already predetermined in his heart, when that boy gets back home, I'm going to restore him instantly to full fellowship here in the Father's house. I'm going to treat him like he's never sinned. If he repents, he goes back to the beginning. He goes back to the top as if he had never sinned. Now, repentance doesn't change God's mind about you. Repentance may change your mind about yourself. And repentance may change your mind about the Father. But in this story, the rehearsed confession of his failure and his repentance was not even recognized. Because whether he said it or not, the Father had already decided, he's mine. Now, the devil's biggest lie to you and to me and to this prodigal son is you have wasted the best of your life. They ever told you that? Well, you've already thrown away the best part of your life. You've wasted the best part. Don't you know the devil told that to that younger son? Well, you worthless piece of junk. I said junk. What? Oh! This is a bad section right over here. I'm getting way far away from that section right over there. Don't you know the devil said, you've wasted the best part. No need to even go back and present a case of any kind. Your father's through with you. He's already given you. But the Bible says that the father gave him a portion. A portion. The father didn't give him everything the father had, obviously. Because when the boy got back home, the father still had more than enough and restored him. So the father only gave him a portion. So that boy, in the worst condition of his life, in the pig pen, his life could not get any worse than it was right then. He was thinking, I've already wasted everything. No, your father knew you was going to throw it away, so he didn't give it all to you. He only gave you a portion. There's enough left back in the father's house for you to be fully restored going back home. You have more in your future than you've wasted in your past. You have more in your future than you wasted in your past. Now, I'm about to close, but let's focus for a minute or two on the older brother. Two boys. One seems to be the star of the story, the rebel, the hothead, the one that was disloyal, unfaithful, took advantage of the father's goodness. Somebody in here knows what that feels like. The one who left the father's house, got out of fellowship big time, wasted everything the father had ever invested in him. He's been the star of the story. And let's give him his due. At least he came to himself and he said, I will arise and I will go back. And the story ends with him fully restored into fellowship with the father, enjoying a party at the father's house. But for just a minute, let's consider the co-star of the story, the older brother. I'm telling you, he was just as messed up as the younger rebellious son. And he gives it away. We see a window into his soul, the true essence of who he was, when he said to his father, these many years I've been serving you, and I've never transgressed your commandment. He threw that word in, commandment. He was all about rules and laws and commandments. nothing but serving. And he said, you never gave me a goat, threw a party for me and my friends. That's the way some people who are good feel about it. I can imagine this older brother who did on the surface appear to be the loyal one, the faithful one, the wiser one, on the surface. But obviously right beneath the surface, there had been something brewing all of his life. I mean, he was at 211 degrees, probably for years. Just one more degree and he's boiling over. And all it took was for that younger brother to come back. And he went from 211 to boiling over. And then he played the card with his father. I've never broken one of your commandments. I've been good. And yet other people haven't been as good as I've been. And I see you've blessed them more than you've blessed me. He was messed up. Listen, thinking it's my evil keeping me from God and it's my good that makes me acceptable to God. Religion. Are you trying to earn your seat at the table based on your performance? When you do nothing but focus on keeping commandments, you'll always measure God's love toward you by your performance for Him. And you become a slave to a religious system. It'd be interesting, you know, we've preached this story, the parable of the lost son. And it's a great evangelistical tool, you know, people at the end of a message, when a pastor will preach on the prodigal son, you know, it's wonderful at the end of a message like that, when your focus is on the younger, prodigal, wasteful son, to say, if you've been wasteful, if you've been a prodigal, if you've rebelled and left the father's house, we're going to open these altars and you can come and be restored back to fellowship with the father. Well, what would it look like if we gave an altar call for the older brother? If you're here in church, and you can say, I've been in church for 40 years and I've never done anything wrong. If that's the way you, if you have been good and you know just how good you've been, these altars are open. Come on up and get back into fellowship with God. That's a new twist, isn't it? Now the pig pen for the younger brother was a place that constantly reminded him of his failure. And in today's generation, for many who are like the older brother, the church is that. Many look at churches in our culture today, and churches are constant reminders of their failure. Neither one is good. You see, both the knowledge of how evil we are, like the younger son had, and then the knowledge of how good we are, like the older son had, both are fruits from the same tree that we were never meant to eat of. It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's not just the tree of knowledge of evil, like the younger brother had. Oh, I'm no longer worthy. I've been so evil. I have knowledge of that. But equally, on that same tree is a fruit that says, I've been good and I know how good I've been and I have knowledge of that. We were never meant to eat of that tree at all. So both were messed up and both needed an awakening. And there are many people in our culture today. Do you know how many people are in churches all over America today? Probably 2 or 3%. And it could be that churches are symbols to many people who have left the Father's house, and when they ride by a church, they see something that reminds them of how big a failure they are. Now, the pig pen, that was for the one who strayed. In today's culture, that could be bars and clubs, street gangs, I mean, all of that. But the one who stayed, the older brother, the one who was proud of just how good he had been, he needs to get an awakening too. And some churches need to have an awakening. We need to be places where the Father's love is attractive. That's why when we see somebody coming into the church, we don't know their backstory. We don't know what brought them here. Somebody could have gotten up and said, you know, if I don't get my act together today, I'm ending it all. I'll try this one more time. And we want to be the Father's house where the party is rocking. Boy, we're celebrating his goodness. We expect if you stumble in here, you got some baggage going on. We don't expect you to be perfect in here. That's why I am learning. No judgment. No judgment. I expect all of you probably dealing with crap. Starting with me. I just expect it. That's why the revelation of how good God, he is so good, he wants to bless us 1,000 times more than we already are. But we need to celebrate in the Father's house. There should be a party going on all the time because of his goodness that led us to a place where we could repent and go back to the beginning before we ever messed up. And he is so good, he treats us like we've never sinned. I won't begin calling out sin, because it's different for everybody. What may be sin to one may not be to another. That's why none of us have a right to judge. We look at the outward appearance and we're tempted to be judgmental. God looks straight to the heart. He sorts it all out. I told you a few weeks ago, I judged a man one time. I remember telling you this. I learned. I'm still learning. But I judged a man one time. And I remember telling you a few weeks ago, I judged this man and he did something. He did something. And I judged him for it. Now, and I also remember telling you what he did was not unethical. It wasn't immoral. It wasn't illegal. I judged it as stupid. I mean, a man did something, and I thought, oh, that is so stupid. Why did he do it? And a few weeks later, I was guilty of the same stupid thing. I did it myself. So I'm just saying, people who have a relationship with God, but fellowship is not there. They are looking for what we have to offer. And we should welcome them when they come in and give them nothing but good news. There's always a party at the Father's house. We always celebrate how good he is. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand. Bow your head.